Welcome, welcome to the PTMA podcast. This is our 200th episode. We made it, and hopefully there's going to be another 200 after this. Normal podcast, I'm on my lonesome this week because Anthony feels he deserves some type of break. God knows why, didn't do anything anyway. But the main point of me coming on here, just before we get into the episode, is we are running a competition, and to know what that competition is for the 200th episode, you have to be on the mailing list, which I will put a link into the show notes. So if you're not on there, join there, but I'm sure most people on the podcast already are. And you will find out, you will get an email tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the 7th of Feb, to let you know what that competition is and what you can win. Good luck and enjoy. There we are. There we are. Happy Monday. Hope everyone's good. Solo Q&A slash podcast today, because Anthony feels like he deserves a few days on the piss somewhere, which is fine. Right, give me 2 secs. Let's get this up. There we go. Okay, so first of all, bit of a milestone. We have hit, this is going to be episode number 200 on the podcast. So we're going to be doing a little competition for people. So listen up and read in the show notes, and I'll get to that in a little bit. So first of all, let's get on with some questions from some of these legends in the academy. Right, let me find the first one. What are you missing most about Ant not being on this live Q&A? Absolutely fuck all. No, it's very nice doing it by myself, not listening to his voice, looking at his face, putting up with his shite, you know. So absolutely nothing, Samuel. Nothing. There's your answer to that one. Next one down, right. Do you think AI will have a big impact on the future of the fitness industry? Yes, I do. I think it's going to be a huge advantage to the fitness industry for specifically helping fitness businesses with areas of weakness. I think it's going to help with efficiency. I think it's going to help with speed. So yeah, I do think it's going to have a big impact on, first of all, the way we operate our business. I think that's going to be a massive advantage to us going forward. And I think even if you think about not even 10 years time, even if you think about 2, 3, 4 years down the line, how what we do on the back end of, from a marketing sense, from a system sense, from a planning operations, I think it's going to be a huge, huge advantage to us. Do I think that it's going to impact in-person coaches and online coaches? I strongly believe that the human element to coaching is can never really be replaced by AI. I think it's going to be good, but I think there's always going to be that human element and the need and want and aspiration about being coached by someone. So I think it's going to have a big impact on the efficiency of how we work. I think there will be some impact on new products and services coming out, which you already see, you will be already seeing now. And I think development of that is going to be great. Do I think it's going to take over a portion of the market slightly? Do I think it's going to impact the market enough that it's going to really impact in-person coaching and online coaching? No, I don't. So yeah, I think early adopters, like anything, if you can understand it quickly, start to practice it and use it to your advantage without taking away who you are and what you do and the core. What in the word am I looking for here? The core value is how you deliver your business. I think it's only going to be an advantage versus a takeover. Next question. Let me have a look. Okay, next question is, I've got a client who moans a lot during sessions. Anytime I'm trying to increase the weight for her, it sucks the life out of me. I can't lie. Despite the constant moaning and looking like she doesn't want to be there, she'll put in, sorry, let me see. Put in her check-in that she's proud of lifting heavier weights almost every week. Her goal is to weight gain, and I've explained why we increase weights, etc. But do you have any advice on how to handle clients like this and help them become less moaning? I think, first of all, I may not tell her upfront about her increasing her weights. I may kind of keep that. I may focus a lot more, kind of, not saying you're not focusing on form, but I might give the coaching points and the coaching focus on the form, or the time that she's doing it versus highlighting she's actually lifting heavier weights and tell her kind of afterwards. So I've taken that tact before. I might look at different variables of, what I've got in my tool belt on creating the progressive overload. So I may switch up how I challenge her, whether that's tempo, whether that's 1 and a quarter squats, whether that is time and attention, whether that is pre-fatiguing, all the variables. So I may challenge her in different ways of that, definitely. And the other thing on the in the back of my mind is that it does, yeah, I get your point in regards to that. But people, not everyone's going to enjoy the process of that. And also, I might challenge her with an open question about when she does moan about the weights going up. I might challenge her with an open question around that to kind of, yeah, get to critically think about it if it's right. But to be honest, the first two points is how I'd go about it, in all honesty. Yeah, I'd probably disguise it a little bit and see how she then she reacts afterwards and take it from there. So yeah, be interesting to see how you get on with that, mate. Next question down. Okay. When creating a process for scheduling social media content, how do you cohesively plan content so it aligns with your content pillar for that day, i.e., the person, objection, etc.? The phase of marketing for the week, awareness, desire, use a variety of mediums, reel, carousels, and have it tie in with a lead magnet or offers. Hope that makes sense. I think, you've got to think about what those pillars enable you to do. The pillars are there to enable structure and to enable good content to kind of come out. So it's not just information. So I think what I would potentially do is reverse engineer it a little bit. So I would have, as an example, common problems from your empathy map that you look at, common challenges. outcomes, benefits people are looking for, so forth and so forth. I would then start with the hooks, i.e. How you can stop people in their track of scrolling. I would then write the content. I would then look at, for example, is this addressing a common problem for my clients? How would me, after creating that content, i.e. writing the script, writing the caption, how would that then best be delivered? I would decide then on a reel, a carousel, so forth and so forth. And I think the desire and awareness can be split between kind of the people who are most engaged, especially if you're either wanting people to join a lead magnet or signing up for your offers. I would definitely kind of position that more through stories potentially. So I think I would start with the actual, again, problem, solution, benefit people are looking for. I would then move on to like just creating the hooks, what's going to trigger people in a quick, short, sharp fashion. I would then write the content. And once I've written that content out, I would then see how they fit into the pillars of desire, awareness, the person, the format of the reel of the, or carousel, whether that's controversial, whether that's hero versus villain, so forth and so forth. So, because otherwise you kind of force yourself to do something to fit into a format versus, right, here's, it's all going to stem off the person and being super niche. And then once you've written out the content, and when I say content, I mean like, you know, 2-3 weeks worth, then go back and kind of arrange that so you get a nice kind of balance week to week with all those things. So yeah, I would maybe go that way in regards to the process of it, if that helps. I don't know if there's actually that more. Hey, here we go. Leads into one question. How to run a small group PT model in a commercial gym as if it were a private gym? What does it include and how do you sell it? Okay, so I think, okay, most private gyms now sell front-end offers. They sell front-end offers, so i.e. they sell a 6-week to achieve this result, and this is the outcome, right? So usually that's what happens in regards to they sell a front-end offer, a time-domained outcome, and then position a monthly recurring back-end payment. So you're looking at it two different things. One way is a front-end offer leading into the back-end, which is kind of your recurring revenue, monthly recurring revenue. And I think you can do that as well in a commercial gym. Definitely. The good thing about being in a commercial gym is that you can literally pull people off the gym floor and get them in for a trial, an experience, as an example. So how to run a small group PT model with the many people that we've done it with, a trial works really, really well. It's never really kind of fallen flat. So a trial works really well sparingly to get them in. But a lot of private gyms, they do a front end offer. So I would say trial both, do a front end offer, maybe a short time domained process. You know, it can be anywhere from kind of 6 to 12 weeks. So you're selling an outcome and then pulling people into the monthly recurring option, or as well as do a maybe a 7 to 14 day trial of the small group training model. So in conjunction with both of those offers, both of those front end offers, whether you do a trial or whether you do a little bit longer, what I would say is that treat
treat people the same as you come in on a one-to-one. So same type of onboarding, same type of sales process, etc. I think that's really important. So if you're focusing in gym, I would probably favor the trial more so because it's just a lower barrier of entry into it. But you can still heighten kind of the perceived value on how often you do it, how long you do it, the spaces available, so forth and so forth. If you're using paid marketing, I would probably go for a front-end offer, because it's quicker. It's probably people you don't know. You can target the local area. You can be very, very niche on that as well. People are more likely to buy on outcome, but the same process as they go in. So yeah, that those are the two different approaches I would take with that. This what to include, I would think of it I would think of running it. There's a couple of different things that small group PT does really well. It makes it more accessible to people, but it doesn't mean to say that's just cheaper, right? More accessibility means that people can train more, right? So I would look at your schedule. I would build out an ideal kind of schedule for small group PT. I would look at your demographic and when they're in the gym and their training habits and match my schedule to them. I would be working the gym floor to fill those hours, definitely. The numbers of people in that small group, I would say anything around four, knowing commercial gyms and how busy they get, four to six in my eyes is still small group personal training, but probably more so edging towards four, knowing how busy commercial gyms get. The programming would be exactly the same as working with a one-to-one, but you've got to think about group dynamics and you've got to think about how you can manage the group through that. Still going to be progressive. I think you still future pace people with the programming. I think you still have test weeks. They work really well in group scenarios as well. So and also like the nutrition side of things and the coaching away from the gym, I think that has a massive benefit. So you're going to make sure your service and your offer is shit up. I think you've got to look at your ideal kind of schedule so it makes it more accessible to people so people can train more often and get better results. I think you've got to think as well about how you're going to sell it, i.e. the front-end offer or the 7-day, 14-day trial, whether you're going to do ads, whether you're going to do hyper-aggressive on the gym floor, and group dynamics as well is going to be big. So hopefully there is a rundown of to think about there is two different ways of selling it, how you would set it up, what the limitations are, what to do with your schedule, the programming and service and offering needs to be shit up for people. And I think you've got to think of price point as well. I personally feel that I think it's underpriced in a lot of commercial gyms because you simply go from, oh, you know, if your average price point is 240 for a one-to-one training twice a week, anywhere between 240 and 300, that's kind of the average in the UK. Again, you've got to think about like what people are actually getting from that. And it's still personal training, but they've got to feel it and understand it. And that's where a trial comes in a lot of the time. So yeah, been around the houses a little bit with that, but hopefully that gives you some pointers on all those different bits of small group PT. Hello, Bob. Any more for any more? Nope. Short and sweet. I'm going to add a little bit more on the front end of this podcast, but hopefully that's helped. And yeah, have a top week all, and we will speak to you all soon.